The Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran, chapter 29, Ras Lila, verse 29, we're continuing from yesterday. This beautiful verse emanating from the heart of Sukadeva Muni, he is chosen to Vasant Tilak Chandas, which is reminiscent of the Brahma Samhita, with a slight variation. Kritva Mukanyavashucha. Swasanena shushyad bimbadarani charaneni bhuva lakantya ashreru patamasibi kuchakun komani tashtur majantya urudukka bharasmatushnim. The translation. Present tense, remember. Now time. So fly there, go there. Don't see this. Just close your eyes and listen and see this. This has to be seen. The Leela of Krishna has to be seen with the eyes of the mind, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the bhakti, everything together. The gopis bow down their beautiful heads because of intense sorrow. They're sighing and heavily breathing. Their lips are drying out. They're scratching the ground and scribbling in the dust with their big toes and crying profusely, which is washing away the beautiful eyeliner, black eyeliner around their eyes. There's these black streaks going down their golden faces and red powder from their breasts, the kunkum. They stand silently overcome with intense grief and sadness. It's very interesting. Look at this verse. The effect of Krishna's words. What is it? It's very interesting. What is the effect of Krishna's words? They're listening to Krishna's words. Very good preaching. Very good tattva. Dharma tattva. Gyan tattva. Dharma tattva. Atma tattva. Grihastha tattva. Patni tattva, all nice, very true statements Krishna was saying. Take care of your husband, take care of your children, serve your husband's relatives. Everything was very perfect according to Shastra. And what is the effect of all that very wonderful preaching according to Shastra? The cudgel, the gopis cry. This is their response. They cry and all the cudgel washes from their eyes. What does that mean, the cudgel washing from their eyes? That means Krishna's words are washing Krishna out of their eyes. Because the cudgel around their eyes is put there, so where any direction they look, they see Sham. Upar Sham, Niche Sham, Vaya, Daya, Vitar, Bar, everywhere is Sham, because Sham is surrounding their eyes. Sham is surrounding their hearts. Sham is surrounding their minds. This is Gopi. You're speaking like this? Oh, you're coming out of my eyes. All the cudgel is washing off. Now, there's no sham around my eyes. In my heart, I have so much anurag from my heart. Even we say in the West, we say, oh, my heart bleeds for you. My heart bleeds for you. It's probably from 1920s. I think I heard it from my grandmother. In other words, it means I'm really emotional. I mean, my heart is really beating more for you. So the gopis, the kunkum, this red powder is, what is that saying? It's not just, okay, red and gold look very beautiful together. You can imagine golden, when you're in your srup, you have beautiful golden form or lightning gold or reddish, gore, rakta, reddish gold or lightning gold or white gold or gore, all shades and varieties of golden. Because gold is the color of ujjala rasa, shringar ras is golden color. Each rasa has a different color and some bhav, which they represents. So now the kunkum on the gopi's breast is representing their anurag, their intense, ever fresh, newer, moment by moment attraction, attachment, and loving desire to please and serve Krishna. This is the anurag, and this is the kunkum. Kunkum is here. So, Krishna, my heart is coming. I'm coming with my heart. Oh no! Now all the kunkum goes down in streams, washed away by the tears. and all the anurag goes down. Because anurag, you know, it's anurag is the intense attachment. Oh, I'm going to see the lover. They're running, one earring, this, that. They're running through the forest to meet Krishna. It's how much, when you're running, your heart beats fast. And your mind is, your body is racing, your heart is racing, your emotions are racing. Where am I going? Am I going to work? Drive commuting to work? No, you're not too excited about that. You're almost going half reverse and half forward. I want to go back home. I have to go to work. I want to go back. But the gopis is all forward gear, four speeds. You know? I mean, they're going full speed. And they're tripping and they don't even know. There's a cobra comes. The cobra is coming across and he hears all this rumbling of the pitter patter of the gopis' feet. And then the cobra says, hey, where are you going? And it come like this. And it said, I read somewhere that the cobra raised its big hood, you know, to scare. And Radharani was so out of her mind, like not in her consciousness because of her loss and her utkanti to Bhav. And her abhisar, intense enthusiasm. She said, the cobra is like, and coming like, and she just went by, get out of the way. So now, yes, we're discussing line two. It's already just the verse itself. You can see there's so much in the verse because verses are like doorways to treasure kingdoms. Each verse is like a doorway. You open the door and you enter a vast, unlimited realm of lila. You can go as deep and fly as high. You can dive as deep in the ocean and fly as high in the sky as the power of your wings and the power of your lungs, which means the power of your bhav and the power of your bhakti. All of these shastras and teachings are so vast and unlimited. It's ananta shastra, ananta katha, ananta bhagavan. So therefore, you read the verse today. I read the verse yesterday. I didn't see this. I read the verse today, and I'm seeing that because every anubhav, this is an anubhav, the tears, the external things. They're vyavachari bhavs and anubhavs. And this was part of their prema, relishing Madhurya Rasa Swadana. But then as we said yesterday, every physical expression means something, especially in the kingdom of Ras. Because what are we dealing with? All the time, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with Ras, Tattva Vichara and Rasa Vichara. Tattva is the foundation by which the palace of Ras rests on the foundation. It's a beautiful palace of many, many rooms and indoor swimming pool and fountains and dining room and theater and so many rooms in the palace. But that's the lila, that's the ras lila. But it's all built on the foundation of Siddhanta, Tattva. That Krishna, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, he is Paramahishvara Krishna. Yes, he is the Bhaktaram and the Yajna Tapasam and the Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Yes, he is Sadaishvarya Purna, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Virayasya Yasashashriya. Yes, he has six opulences. Yes, he's all attractive. Yes, he's the strongest. He's the strongest and the most beautiful and the most renowned and the most wealthy and all these things. Okay, fine. That's the foundation. If you only build the foundation of your house and you don't make any first floor or any bedrooms or bathrooms, it's a little austere living in a basement. You know? You live in a basement. Oh, it's a little damp like this basement. Imagine all your life in the basement. Yeah, you become a troll or something. Come out of the basement. So this is the whole thing that we join, or generally some progression like that. We begin, we see that, although it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Many people usually start off with some type of Vaidhi sadhana, and then it's not that you graduate, or not that one grows into the other, one becomes the other. No, but we see that kind of logic. If we see anyone, myself, for example, I had some rag and attraction. It was very specified and specific even before I joined, when I came to know that this was my attraction. Some book I read, this is me. So, but still, you know, we started with the Vaidhi sadhana. We didn't meet a Raghunuga guru and immediately get Siddha Pranali, and many do. Many young people even sitting here and they're that fortunate. But this is really online experience, and I see some other devotees in the room, I think they can agree that most of us went through the doorway of Vaidhi sadhana and the standard generic Vishnu bhakti Vishnu Krishna Bhakti. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna consciousness. I want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to serve Krishna. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. You've heard these things? You preached to your mind 100 times, I'm not this body, I'm not the enjoyer. You know, I'm Krishna's servant. Aham Brahmasmi, etc., etc. Okay, very nice. Perfect. You can go to Vaikuntha. But you want something more? And then Krishna pulls you up to something more. All of us sitting here are very fortunate. Our different gurus and teachers have given us a great fortune. For me, it took a long time. At least the formalities of Diksha, although the last 30 years I've been doing everything I'm doing now, but in my own contrived and way, which I understood from Shastra, but there's a vast difference between freelancing and having a guide, having a guru. Unbelievable. I can just say that. Maybe it's not true for anyone. Everyone's truth is their truth. When we're talking about relative truth and subjective experience, it's individual. We're talking about shastras and principles, and then we have some standard authority of knowledge. And we all, this of us sitting here, accept the Vedas as our standard, because we believe that our Lord, He compiled them all. Vedas chastra, maybe Vedas. So we discussed line one yesterday. This is the prelude to the scenes before the gopis start speaking their famous Pranaya Geet. So in the second line it says, this is Charanena Bhuva Likantya. Charan, everyone knows Charan. Lotus feet. Bhuva means bhuvi, bhumi, earth. Likana, in India, everyone knows that. Likana means to write. Likantya, they're writing. That's why I said, because it says Likantya, it could say scratching. There's different words for scratching, and there's different Sanskrit words. That's why I was trying to imagine what they're writing. It's like the devotees, the Babas, they write Radhe, or they like Radha on their chest and things like this to identify to more firmly. Again, it's an external practice. Tilak, all these things, the signs of the Vaishnava, Kantimala, Tulsi Kanti, Tilak, writing Radhe Radhe or Jai Radhe or Jai Guru or Jai Nitai, Jai Guru, whatever, something. On the chest, generally it's on the chest, because that's anything below the belly button, then that would be inauspicious and offensive, because the name is the Lord. So if you have the name of the Lord across your heart, or Radharani or Krishna, that's very good. That's a good place. Oh, I'm not used to that. That's a good place for your heart to be. Because if the Lord's name, if Krishna's name is across your chest, Radhe Radhe or Radha, then that means your heart is at the feet of Radharani, because her name is her. So she's standing on your heart. And we did it for some time, but we get a little, these kind of things, a little hard to keep up every day, these kind of things. I don't like so much, I don't need the physical thing to put my mind in the right place. But it helps. I know it helps. And I used to chant mantra with a pancha mala, which is one mala of Amalaki and one mala of Gomalata and one mala of Amalaki beads, Gomalata, and then mud from Radhakund and some rope from the body or whatever of Jagannath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I forget. There's 5 things. And they're wrapped in cloth. These are very auspicious items. Amalaki tree is a worshipable tree, like Ashwat, Datri, Ashwat, people, Tulsi. These are all representatives of Vishnu and Shaktiman, and they can all be worshipped, especially people tree. Krishna says in Gita, Ashwat Brikshaham, Ashwat Brikshaham. Briksh means tree, aham means I am, and Ashwat means what we say, people. It doesn't mean the people, the people tree. It means a people, P-E-E-P-U-L, people. But it's really Ashwat. And that's the people tree. So that's the Panchamala. So I did that for some years. So I did. And after some time, I gave away somebody. Then one person said, it's very nice. It's amazing how these different small details, I say principle and detail. The principle is chant holy names, non-sankirtan. That's basically the teaching. Everywhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya's direct teachings, he says nam, nam, nam. He doesn't specifically say Hare Krishna Maha Mantra except once. He speaks in all his teachings, in all the books about Lord Chaitanya, he speaks the Hare Krishna Mantra once in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he's not standing on a podium. It's not a message. It's not a WhatsApp message. It's not an email to the world or anything. It's just he gave a speech to a handful of grihasthas. They said, how do we stay Krishna conscious? Oh, you do your work, you harvest the rice in the fields, and you go to the shop and sell the dhotis, and you make the kartals, and you sell the mridangas to the videshis in Mayapur. And then when you're done, and in the evening you get together and you clap your hands, kartal, because you know, you clap your hands, and you sing this mantra. You know that mantra? I think you know. Hare Krishna. That's it. And so I have many friends, and sometimes they would challenge me because they're from different schools. They said, you show me where in the Shastra is telling Lord Chaitanya is chanting Hare Krishna and Kirtan, Nam Sankirtan. And then I started to think because I read a little bit and I have a little bit of memory. And I said, can you tell me? Because I couldn't think myself. You know, we translated Chaitanya Manga. We gave a class in every verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Every single verse from beginning to end, we gave a class. So this is a heavy beating. I'm torturing you with too much Harikata. And I please forgive me for that. And I hope you don't have any side effects and any exposure or any... See, you can't... And initially, we've done some laboratory testing. We don't find any negative results from this. But this is a new product, so we don't know over the long term. If you take this product for 20 years, you may become totally addicted, you know, to this type of kata and these type of books, and then it's a big trouble. I have to be careful. You could be in big trouble. You become so addicted to the teacher that you sign a contract that's forever. You sign a contract that's forever. Janme, janme, Prabhu say. Say, Prabhu Sehi means that Prabhu, means you Prabhu, means Lokanath Goswami, says Narottam. Narottam is saying, oh, Lokanath. And what else would he want? And if he has another birth, would he want to be with someone other than Lokanath, like his mother, like his father? Of course, he must have one to get another birth. But his wife or husband? Koi name. Sehi Prabhu, this one. And everyone gives so many different interpretations, including the person sitting here. In the last 30 years, this question has been asked so many times, and this person is giving so many interpretations. Well, it means it's the principle of Guru Tattva. It can't be the same jiva, but another jiva will come in another form. Oh, many answers. They're on the net also. Don't listen to that part. See, whatever you're hearing that's like bogus, don't listen to that. So that's even better, more, because knowledge is unlimited, and our consciousness is unlimited. So what we knew in kindergarten, hopefully we know more in fifth grade. So what I studied and knew and realized then. So this is the thing. So in the second line, about scratch, here, and we have to remember, what's the scene? We already read the translation, but just to recapitulate the scene. The gopis who come to meet Krishna for the rasa dance, for his pleasure, for his satisfaction. They're not, oh, I want this. I have to go get this. No, I have to go give myself to Krishna. I have to offer everything to Krishna. Krishna's called me. Why? Because he wants to dance with me. He wants to romance with me. He wants to be with me. And everyone feels the same way. Everyone is desiring the same way. I want him to be with, he wants to be with me. I want to please him. So they're all running there. And then he's rejected them and disappointed them and frustrated them. And told all the gopis, go home, you don't belong here, it's not good. And tried, he used so many different tactics, fear tactic. Oh, you better watch out, your husband's gonna come in with a big club and beat you up. And then, of course, Vishnath gives different interpretations of that. Oh, and then the tigers, he said, tigers, your husband, he used fear, duty, shastra, morality, dharma, every possible angle of convincing someone to do something Krishna employed. So many verses try to create fear in their minds, fear of physical punishment, fear of, first he says, you're going to get beaten. Oh, that's not working. But there's so many poisonous snakes, and there's so many tigers lurking in the darkness. You'll get eaten up. Forget about your husband beating you with a stick for running away, but even tigers. So fear of death, fear of husband. I mean, I don't know which is worse. Fear of death or fear of husband or fear of wife. It depends on the gender. The fear of death, fear of a husband, fear of adharma, fear of next life. Even Krishna says, okay, you throw away everything and just enjoy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, live today, forget about it. But then what about next life? Even he used fear about next life. What about future life? You know, you enjoy now, but you have to pay later. Fly now, pay later. So, you know, you enjoy, but what, you know, in the next life, if a woman lives by a dharma, in other words, if you spend a night with me, what about your next life? All your dharma, all your sanskaras, everything is not nashed. Everything is nokshan. You've lost everything. Because he says, you won't get promotion to heavenly planets. In other words, you're going to go to hell in your next life. So many ways Krishna tried to scare them and frighten them to run away. And they're looking at him, looking at each other. We're fearless. We're the greatest yogis. There's no greater yogi than the gopis. Yogi is fearless. They're going to the jungle, tigers. The gopis are these little 14-year-old girls, and they're running through the jungle in Amavasya. In Amavasya, all poisonous creatures, their poison increases double. And when it's an eclipse or grahan, their poison increases 100-fold. So you get bitten by a scorpion or a cobra during eclipse, Haribo, Jai Nitai. 100-fold. But Amavasya, double. So that's known. If I know, they also know. So no fear of anything. Such a high example of fearlessness, dependence, determination, surrender, enthusiasm for seva, selflessness, self-forgetfulness. I really like this. I heard this expression from one sadhu. He said that ordinarily there's two types of characters or personalities that we meet in our life in the material world. Good man, a bad man. A selfish man, a selfless. Oh, she's selfless. Or he's selfless. Humanitarian, welfare worker. Great saints and different famous personalities. They get awards and Nobel Peace Prizes and Padma Shri Awards because they're helping the people and helping the poor and whatnot. So they're considered, they're selfless. They're selfless workers for humanity. Day and night they're serving the poor and downtrodden. So this sadhu is saying, generally we understand two categories. The third category is self-forgetful. Because self means Atma. Atma means mind, body, soul. The gopis are in this category. Because selfless, we think selfless is the best. That's good to be selfless. I mean, if someone is broad-minded and broad-hearted, then they can appreciate when they see someone that's really selfless. Because any cultured human being, cultured and refined human being, has a sense of helping others. Manas Samhita, it's explained that the sign of intelligent man is that he, or woman for that matter, human being, intelligent means cultured also, is that they feel the pain of others to be theirs. That's called karuna, compassion. So we're worshipping the origin of compassion. So this is, we can see the gopis have forgotten. Selfless is very nice, but just to meditate, and what does it mean to be self-forgetful? Self-forgetful means I have no concern or care. I never think of myself for a second. Because even a selfless person, they may have thoughts about themselves. I'm doing all these things. Maybe I'll get recognized. Maybe I'll get the Nobel Prize. They're actually very selfless. All their energy is going outwardly to help and help people and help the poor and just, you see that they get up at 5 o'clock and they take rest at 12 and all day long they're serving and helping people, selfless. But still, is their mind selfless? Are they free from the desire? Or maybe, you know, they have some desire for themselves. So what I'm trying to say is, it's impossible for an ordinary human being to forget his self. That will only happen in the fourth state of consciousness, and that state is called Turiya. There's Jagrata, Swapna, then Susupti, and Turiya. Turiya is where one forgets the self and actually sees the Supreme Self. Only when one totally leaves, that's why I say it, it's so deep in the mode of ignorance, it becomes the source of illumination. Very interesting. Because Jagrata means Rajasattva. Swapta means Raja Tama. And Susupti means Tama. That's why when we're dreaming, it's Raja means the passion, but it's also some Tama, because if there's no Tama, you can't be asleep, because sleep is a mode of ignorance, an expression of Tama. But the activity, someone, oh, I had 1,000 dreams last night. That's the Raja. So the mind is still Rajasic. So that means it's so Rajasic, it's a very interesting balance. When the mind is very Rajasic, even if the mind is very Rajasic, then you have lots of dreams and you remember many of them. And if there's more Tama and Rajagun, you're in Swapna, you're dreaming, but you forget. You wake up, I didn't dream. But everyone dreams, and they prove that by clinical study. They put these electrodes on your head, and there's certain alpha waves, beta waves, sine waves, different waves that indicate this is what they call waking state. We say Jagrata. They say waking state, and then sleep. And they can even see. Dot, 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 dot. He has, his eyes is closed. This person's sleeping. Dot, dot, dot. And it goes like this. He's conscious. It's like that. Now he's sleeping. And all of a sudden, do, 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 do. So he's sleeping, but he's, being chased by a tiger. So there's some brain waves, the manovritti, they start pulsating more. So this is the thing. When we go to this Turiya is like 1 in 100 million people experience that. And yogis and others that can control their breath, they can, it's not a willful expression, but they can go to Susupti, and then if they're fortunate, super soul allows, because he's reciprocating with their intense endeavor to experience that Turiya state of awareness, then he opens that door. So the gopis they forget even the self. In the deepest reaches of their mind and deepest reaches of the consciousness, they're always with Krishna. No one in this whole universe but the Braja gopis, especially Radharani, could say a prayer like this and give the explanation of this prayer. First, Radharani spoke this prayer in a very secret place. She spoke this prayer in a very confidential, dark place. She spoke this prayer. And then she explained what it means to even take you deeper into the meaning of this prayer. And it's in Anantya Lila, chapter 20 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone probably knows pretty well. Ashlishyava paratam panashtamam madarshanam mamatam karotuva yata tata va vidadat lampato mat prana nata susa eu napara. Napara. No matter what. And then Radharani gives, this is Radharani speaking this in her Mahabhav. Her Mahabhav means her Bhav. And Krishna wants that Bhav. So now, finally, in the last years of his life, that Bhav is manifested by the mercy of Srup Damodar and Rai Ramananda and Gadadhar Pandit. This Bhav has arisen, is manifested. This is the Bhav which Krishna came to seek. This is the Bhav that Krishna came to experience. The Mahabhav of Mahabhav Surupini Radharani. So now in the last few, Antya Leela, chapter 20, last is Antya, the end of his Prakat Leela. And then totally, totally mad and absorbed in Radhabhav. Radha's Mahabhav. So this utterance, this divulgence or speech, or what not speech, but verse, it's not even a shloka or a verse, it's just tears. It's just solidified tears, solidified Mahabhav. Mahabhav, it's Mahabhav and tears of love and praying, taking the form of Akshar. Akshar means syllable. Shlishya Paravartam. Break me by your loving embrace. Break my heart by running away from me. Crush me. And then Radharani gives an extensive purport. And you read that and say, what is this prema that Radharani is talking about? What is this love? This is the definition. What is self-forgetful? This verse explains the degree and the meaning of being self-forgetful. That self is totally forgotten. And this is an introduction because we're about to hear the Pranaya Gita, maybe tomorrow or so, where the gopis finally recoup and collect their senses and collect their minds enough and cool down enough so they can speak their hearts. And then they speak in this Pranaya Gita. So this Pranaya Gita is what we call the Turiya in the yoga concept, or what we call the self-forgetfulness, where the pran, you have your pran is yourself. Your whole self is floating on the pran. And this pran carries yourself, Atma, to your next body. So prana is a very important element of the whole thing. So this Pranaya Gita, we'll find out about that. So why are they scratching the ground? Line two. This is, of course, our acharyas have revealed that this is scratching us at anxiety. Expression of anxiety, it's called chinta. It's one of the 33 sanchari or vyavachari bhavas, which come, rise and fall in the ocean of the permanent love. And there's some description of Sri Jiva Goswami also about this word bimba. And then line two, it says bimbadarena adarani adara bimbadarani charanena bhuva lakantya. Adhara means the lips, and bimba is the little red cherry-like fruit. So Jiva gives a nice explanation. It's part of line one, but it's located in line two. What that means. He says that before the gopis responded, because Krishna spoke and then he stopped. I see something and I'm looking at you. And you just look. Because we're social beings and we can communicate with the language of our country. So if someone's speaking to you, it's called dialogue. This is the dialogue. As we said in the drama, there's a narrative, there's a dialogue, there's a monologue. There's like this, different types of speech are going on. So here it's Krishna speaking to them and asking questions. Why have you come? So they should, if you ask a question, then an answer should come forward. What are you doing here? Why have you come? What is your purpose? And he said, so tell me. Bhatkaro, speak. Batao, apatao, speak something. Mon. So Jiva Goswami Pad says the gopis are silent. They're silent for a moment. They're deeply thinking, but they're not speaking. Their lips dry out with their hot, hot, long breathing. Hot because they're hot. They're angry. Angry hot, not happy hot or love hot. They're angry hot. And there's a present participle used here in Sanskrit. You must have seen it, of course. Present participle. And all you pundits out there, Jiva Goswami is pointing that out. And what does it mean, the present participle? Do you know? You don't know. Very nice. He says it means that the drying out of their bimba, this is shushyad, like we say shukshma gyan in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarvabhauma Bhattachari. He says, oh, you know, I was eating the dry oil cakes, like sorsel tail. When they take the sorsel beach and they grind it, they make the tail. And then the extra, like you make carrot juice, of course, over here, we don't make the carrot juice anymore. But and it's not bad. It's tough for health fooders. And it's really hard for Punjabis because they like carrot halwa, lots of sugar and ghee and all kinds of things. Not so healthy, but really tasty. And so that's a no-no. So he says their lips are drying up continuously. Their lips are red and soft like bimba fruit. And now they're withered. And he says, why are they drawing pictures? He says they're drawing pictures on the... See, this is the... So how is he seeing this? Because he's Vilasmandri. He's showing, I'm reading this verse. You're reading this verse. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you feeling what I'm feeling? Are you reading? I'm reading and I'm seeing this. And you're reading, you're not seeing that. So that means he's teaching by his analysis and his what we call tika or commentary. He's teaching us the way devotee thinks, the way devotee looks at the lila, the way he thinks about the lila, and the way he goes into the lila. Then when he goes, if you have a mind, M-I-N-E, akani, K-H-A-N-I, kani means mind, chandikani, sonakani, a gold mine, like this, hirakani, diamond mine. Then the mine is there. There's a big hole in the ground. Oh, look, there's a mine. Oh, what's in there? Oh, go down in there. You go far. Go there. Get big light. You'll find a vein. Sona nadi or chandi nadi. They're like veins. You know your veins? You have blue and red arteries and blue veins. So earth is like a body. Bhumi Mata's body. So when they cut into the earth, they find it's all earth, clay and different things. You have to go lower in the rock bit formation, you'll see lines like this. Like you have, say this is a brown wall and you draw a gold line on it. So the brown wall is a slice of earth, like a slice of cake. You slice the cake down and it's like chocolate cake and then it becomes, you know, vanilla in the middle and you go down and then it's a layer of strawberry and go down. It's like, you know, many, many layers, blueberries and go down as walnuts and caramel mixed together. It's like everyone's already no. So that's just the earth. So the verses are like kani; they're like gold mine. And as I was saying the other day, because I took the lead, I went one further. I said, "Okay, Jiva, it's like someone takes you." Holds your hand and says, come, let's go in the kani. It's really dark in there. Don't worry. Put this light on your head. Put this helmet on. It's got a big light. So Jiva Goswami says, with their toes, they're drawing lines. With their toes. So the verse doesn't say. It says charanina. Charanina means it could be the bottom of their foot. That's a charan. It could be the top of their foot. It could be their pinky toe, you know, like a ballet dancer. But he says the big toe, which is a logical conclusion also. So he showed that because of his bhav drishti, his bhakti lochan, the eye of devotion, the eye of attachment, the eye of seva. Because what is the mandri thinking? Oh, how is Radharani scratching the ground? I painted her toenails so nice, they look so beautiful. They're already naturally red, but I made them even more beautiful. Because they're shiny, so shiny, she can see 10 Krishnas in her. When she looks down at her feet, she sees 10 Krishnas. But this, I put this special nail polish. It's mixed with crystals. You know, it's mixed with crystals. So when you look at one toenail, it's like see 10 Krishnas in one toenail. So then 10 times 10 is 100. Because, you know, you have some things magnify. Like you ever go in a fun house? In the fun house, they have these, you know, fun house means a place where you have fun. No, it's for kids. It's for kids. And they have a funny kind of mirrors. You look in this darpan, and it makes you look really fat. Or makes you look really like a piece of taffy, you know, like saltwater taffy or something. You go like this, like gumbo or something. And then there's another one that shows you, it's prisms. It's prisms or mirrors. It's mirrors and prisms. And it makes you look like 100 of you. And it's like everyone stays there the longest time. Out of all the mirrors, people stand there, oh, there's 100 of me. You know? That's really cool. So that you can, that prism and the mirrors, I mixed in a nail polish. So when I put it on Radharani's toes, When she looks down, she sees, because shiny toe, you see one toenail, but the toenail becomes one of those mirrors, and wow, amazing. So the mantra sees Radharani is Charanena Bhuva Likantya, Charanena Bhuva Bhuvi, Mother Earth. Likanti is drawing. It doesn't say, Likantya means writing. It means writing on the earth. Because one translator said scribbling or scratching. But there's different words in Sanskrit for scribbling. You know, scratching is like this, you know. This is the writing. Shiva Goswami says the big toes. So the mantras are looking and say, yes, Radharani is using her big toe or Vishaka or whatever, who's all the different gopis may be writing. Mantras are watching. And then there's two things they're thinking. Well, what is Radharani writing? And we told the other yesterday what Radharani was writing in the ground. And then the other thing they're thinking, I just painted this special nail polish. And if Radharani's using her nail, you know, like holding her toe like this, then all that nice nail polish will get washed off. And when you know, later in the rasa dance, and she's looking down, she can see, wow, there's so many Krishnas with me, you know. So she's worried that it's going to get scratched off from the sand. And you have to be careful when So just see how you can spend a whole day on one line. Because any line of rasa shastra about Radha and Krishna takes you to the form of Radha and Krishna, takes you to the lila of Radha and Krishna, takes you to the hearts of Radha and Krishna. This is the way. You get in the train and it takes you somewhere. So the train is your train of thought. You get in the train, Gadi, and it goes Mathura Vrindavan. So the train of thought means the flow, the movements of your thought. Because the way the whole verses and the leelas open up is first of all by the mercy of Guru and the Acharyas, by the mercy of the Diksha Guru and the Rasik Jan. Our Sri Jiva, Vishnath Chakravarti, Rupa Goswami, Das Goswami Pad, and our own gurus, our Guru Varg, they give the mercy, and then we try to think about it. And then we not only think about the Leela, but when one has an identity in the Leela, which is established by the Guru, this is your identity. You're in the Leela. You are in this Mandri. So what are you doing? Oh, that's nice, you know. So the gopis are fully of looking at Krishna. So when one has identity or one projects, he or she assumes their own spiritual identity or is given to them or they imagine or whatever, by their rag and by their desire, and by because it's all based on desire, it's all based on attraction. All you want to be there, then be there. And to be there, you have to have a siddha sroop or create your own, design your own, receive from Guru, get in a dream. Somehow you want something very bad, then you create it in your mind. Like, what kind of world do you think children live in? Children live in the mental world of imagination and creativity. They're just sitting on the floor with two stones. And you come in and say, what's going on? Oh, this is Grand Prix. This is Le Mans Grand Prix. Acha. Acha. Yeah. This is my car. What kind of, it's a Porsche. Acha. What's your brother at? This Ferrari. Who's winning? No, I'm winning. So are they insane? Are they crazy? Yes. The answer is yes, because they're kids. And it's okay to be zany and crazy if you're a kid. But the point I want to say is, They're living in a self-created world, and they create the world in their mind, and they project themselves into the world in their mind, and then they play the part in their mind. I mean, outside. First, they absorb themselves in a mental identity. I'm a race car driver. I'm driving a Ferrari. It's Le Mans. I saw it on TV last year. And my brother, my twin brother and I were competing. And it's like hours going around the floor, you know. Mother's very happy. Kids are keeping quiet. But what happens, in fact, I study a little bit about this because I've been studying a lot about meditation. They said there's something called the pineal gland. And there's all different theories about that. It's somewhere kind of in the back from the, you take the point between the eyebrows, which is the Trikuta chakra, which is also invisible. Sometimes they make an L, compare the Trikuta, it's called Agya, Agya chakra, Trikuta chakra. They, it's like from here, and then go back. And it's at the base of the cerebellum and the right and left hemisphere, cerebrum. Inside there, there's a tiny little gland. And they've done lots of studies, because I studied medicine. I have a degree in medicine in college. So, and I was into the metaphysical things when I was way back then. So this, I read a lot about this, not this thing. This pineal gland, every human being, when they're born, it's very soft. It's actually shaped, pineal in Latin, pineal means pine cone. So the so the pine cone, it's shaped like that. It's and it's kind of bumpy and stuff too, because I have pictures of it. And so this gland is soft, and it's quite expanded, like a flower. It's kind of expanded. And they because they're studying so much about the brain and trying to map out the brain and understand all this Scientific American, all these things. So we studied all these things like 45 years ago. And still they're a little mystified by this, but they kind of got it down to some extent. So they say this center is a center of imagination and creativity. And that's why children worldwide, whether they're Russian or Indian, they're all sitting down just playing with two stones for hours. Or five, the ladies, what are you doing? I'm making pancakes. Achcha. So we don't just see mud, mud pies. So what happens is that went from birth until six. Now, depending on the type of person, the type of activities they do, it starts to get tighter and smaller, and hard becomes like a rock. And they see the conclusions they've drawn is somehow, because they studied adults that are very creative and imaginative and little psychic and little like a little crazy type, and they really have a, you know, there are like 10 different people at once, and they, because there's as many studies, psychology and the body and everything. So they find that these people, the pineal gland is soft and it's a little expanded. So now this is interesting Russ Lila discussion. But this, I'm trying to teach, because the whole idea of the Leela is not just to read it, to be in it. So I'm trying to explain some, I know where I'm going, and so you'll find out in about 2 minutes. So just stay with me. So some adults, their pineal gland is somewhat soft, and all around the world, you can go on the net if you want to, you know, surf and waste a lot of time. You go type in, you can type in things like opening the pineal gland. You'll find hundreds of sites. How to open the pineal gland, how to soften the pineal gland. Because it's a great energy source of, they say it's a source of enlightenment. They talk about the third eye, and they show Shiva with a picture of third eye. Well, he's called Trilochan also. So he can, many levels it can be true. Yes, he has another eye there, externally like an eye, but and it can also refer to the Agya chakra, which is in the same position, but chakras are invisible. They're psychic centers, but they exist and they can be understood. And there's whole books about them. We studied much about that. And so is the third eye and the pineal gland, because the third eye is the eye of enlightenment. Shiva's three eyes. One eye is the past, one eye is the future, and one eye is enlightenment. So to be enlightened, you have to know everything about the past and everything about the future, and then you can get enlightenment. This is Gita, when Krishna is saying, Bahoni me vyatitani, janme orjana. He said, Arjuna, you've forgotten, you don't know, you're eternal. Never was a time you didn't exist. Both you and I have passed many, many births, bahotani. But you have forgotten them, I have not. Because Krishna sees all the time. So one can be truly enlightened if they can see everything in the past and everything in the future. So this enlightenment means to actually see God. Because infinity in the future ends with God. Infinity in the past ends with God. The past is eternal, the future is eternal. That will bring you to God. So how to open the pineal gland? So because if you open the pineal gland, you'll increase your power of powers of meditation and you increase your powers of visualization. And it's almost, and great meditators, they have great imaginative and visualization powers. Because I want to write about this in the next book about these things. And so I've done a lot of side studies to get a deeper understanding. So one thing they found out is that melatonin, the increase in melatonin, which is a sleeping chemical, the more you can increase that, and actually when you concentrate and try to meditate and concentrate on the Ajna Chakra without straining the eyes, because if you focus your attention, a lot of times people look cross-eyed. They're looking up like this. It's called third eye, between eyebrows. That's where the bindi is placed. Place the bindi there. Because that stimulates the Ajna Chakra. So it gives the woman some wisdom, some insight. They say woman's intuition. So bindi, now they put some piece of paper. You're supposed to put it on with a particular finger also. Maybe Jupiter finger. This is Jupiter finger? I don't know. What finger would you, if you were an old-fashioned Indian lady, Saturn, Shani. So you use this finger, something like this. Yeah. Middle finger. So this is Jupiter. Maybe some connection. Because everything, all these are psychic centers. So many things go on. Actually, I was in one place. I was going so far in the yoga side, and then somehow I ended up in the bhakti side. So I end up on kind of like, obviously, kind of trading in both stock exchanges. It's a little bit of probably karma mishra bhakti or something, yoga mishra bhakti. Sorry. But it's actually, the whole objective is not yoga for yoga's sake, but to meditate. Our religion is smaran. This skridaya, we have to, this is our life. And this is the exact words of Narottam Das and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Smaran is life. He says that in Bengali. Smaran, Radha Krishna, Leela Smaran. We don't have to worry about Rup Smaran is very nice to pacify the mind. But Rup Smaran, meditating on the form, it pacifies the mind, it collects the thoughts. By doing Rup Smaran and Rup Dhyan, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad has provided one book called Rupa Chintamani, which is in my small book about meditating in the feet of Radha Govinda. This meditating on the feet of Radha and Krishna is a preliminary practice. This is called Pratyahara in yoga school. Pratyahara means to withdraw the senses from the sense objects. It's a subcategory of dharana. It's not a specific yoga step. There's 8 steps on the yoga ladder, and it's the yama niyama asana pranayama, and then dharan dhyan trivana smriti, like this. There's 8. So pratyahara is an aspect. It's a subsidiary of dharana. So pratyahara, dharana means to hold. You can't hold your attention and mind on one thing until you get rid of the other things where it's scattered. So your mind, if it's scattered or going out to any senses, the eyes or ears, that's why pratyahara means withdrawing. I believe so. Yeah? So it's not a step, it's not a specific stage of the yoga ladder. So we have all these steps in the bhakti yoga. It's bhakti, it's yoga with bhakti. Because we want our yoga, our connection, we want to be connected with bhakti. We want to be connected with love, which means prem purushottam, or the swarup of prem, Radha and Krishna. Prem srupini is Radharani. She's Mahabhava srupini, and Rasaraj srup is Krishna. So they come together. So that's why we're doing yoga. So this rup dhyan, by meditating in the form of Vishakha Sakhi and Rati Mandri, and the Guru Sarup and Mai Sarup, and then Radharani's form and Krishna's form, as our teacher has instructed us, these specific 6. I inquired many times at these different points, and this is what I understand from from what he's told, because these are the main players for the Advaita Parivar. Radha Krishna, of course, for everyone, and then maybe Lalita or Vishakha, basically, Rupa or Rati, and then Guru Sakhi, and one's own identity. And sometimes, in terms of actual vehicle of meditation for entering Leela, this is how we've been trained. Everyone has a different detail, maybe from their teacher. There's Yoga Pit Puja and other things where we remember and contact all the players and all the members, let's say, of our Sangha. But then this is thing. So I'm saying this Rupa Dhyan, this is a way of holding the mind. Because what our objective is Dhyan, to meditate, not Rupa Dhyan, but our objective, our goal is Leela Dhyan. Leela Dhyan, Leela Smaran, Leela Pravesh. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Smaran, Leela Smaran is the life. It is the pran. Smaran is pran. Smarana pran. This is the life of the Raghunuga Bhakta. So to effectively do Smaran, Leela Smaran, Rup Smaran, we must have Shud Antakaran. Bhakti Sandarva and Jiva Goswami is saying Shud Antakaran. The antakaran, the internal mechanism, the mind and ego, especially ego and mind, they must be pure. Pure means peaceful. Peaceful means you can meditate. No peace, no meditation. Therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti, to benefit all the Raghunuga sadhakas, if they're not able to immediately do smaran and meditate on the forms, as I mentioned, or others, and enter the leela and try to hold the leela, then they take a step back and they do the rup dhyan. So we produce small book towards this goal without giving very much of this explanation I'm giving now, but those that know will appreciate it. So that is done. Now one is... It's very nice because now one this is prepared, very peaceful. That's why we're given a sarup. So why am I not peaceful? Why am I not peaceful? Why am I agitated? Why am I disturbed? Because my identity is in this external body. Adi Atmika Klesh, Adi Bodhika Klesh, Adi Dhatvika Klesh is affecting this body and this antakara and this mind. So therefore, you're not this body. Okay. I heard 1 million times the phrase Aham Brahmasmi. Because when I joined long ago in this mission, this is a very common phrase. Oh, why are you lying on the floor? Oh, I'm sick, 105 fever. Doesn't matter. Get dressed, go sell books. You have to save the people. So you get dressed and go sell the books. Because you're brahmacharya, you're surrendered. You're not the body, Aham Brahmasmi. Things are a little more relaxed these days, I suppose. But it's really wild. So this is a nice point that Jiva Goswami is saying, see, look how I've meditated. I've seen that Radharani is... Because he's saying charanena. Charanena means the whole foot and the toenails and bottom and top and everything is charan. But I'm seeing the big toe. Like so many soldiers, so many warriors went to win the hand of Draupadi. And it was one fish behind one wheel. And later, Dronacharya, the Danar Guru, Danraved Guru, Dronacharya, many of those warriors were competing for the hand of the Kanya, Draupadi Kanya, the virgin princess Draupadi. He inquired, you're such a great archer. Why didn't you hit the fish? Oh, I saw the fish, but a wheel was moving and the sun was in my eyes. Is that the other thing? Okay. Arjun, what did you see? I didn't see any fish. Acha. What did you see? Whoever hit the king, the father, Drupad, he said, whoever hits the eye of the fish, he gets my daughter as a kanyadan. So everyone wanted Draupadi. She was as beautiful as the goddess of fortune. She's so beautiful. So he Arjuna was successful because he was focused on the objective, the eye of the fish. That's the conclusion. This is the objective. He was focused. He got it. So this is what Jiva Goswami is telling us. He's focused on the Leela. He's seen this. Now go further. So there, in Leela, in meditation, we're given the Leela descriptions, Govinda Leela Amrita, Krishna Bhavana Amrita, Krishnaika Kumudi, Bhavana Sara Sangraha, and other assorted, many, many books and padakartas and songs describing short Leelas or longer Leelas, Chamatkara Chandrika, Naimittik Leelas, Vishnath. They give the basic idea. But sometimes you read descriptions of Leelas where in a Madhyan Leela, Radha Krishna meeting in Govardhan in the cave. So, oh no, you're supposed to be in Radhakund. There's no supposed to be. Sometimes they can go to Govardhan all day. Sometimes they can go. Even you read the Madhyan Leela of Bhavanamrita by Vishnath and Govinda Leela Amrita, there's some variation. In Vishnath's Madhyan Leela, starts in Radhakund. Then they go to Vrindavan. They're in Vrindavan. Then they go to Govardhan, Chandra Sarovar. Then they come back to Vrindavan. If you look closely, you'll see. And I asked my teacher, he said, yeah, that's quite a variation. Right in a Madhyan Leela, they're moving here and there. Govinda Leela Amrita, I think they're all you can see. But they're, so even that's the basic template, but even sometimes they can do different things. So therefore, when one is reading Leela and thinks, he's thinking, well, Radharani's drawing on the ground with her toe, what's she writing? And then you have to imagine, you have to think of the Leela. So now, because you've learned tattva, because you've learned the actual truth in Siddhanta and tattva, and you know you've learned, learning the truth in tattva means the identities of the eternal associates of Krishna. That's learning the truth. Learning the tattva is also learning rasa tattva. What is proper rasa? What is combination? Right mixing of rasas. So now when you use your imaginative powers or visualization powers, because Jiva Goswami, the verse is not saying toe. There are words for toe, angali, padangali, etc. But he's only saying charanena. But because Jiva Goswami is identifying as Vilas Mandri, so in that rupa, and that form, that srupa of Vilas Mandri, he enters this verse, and he's Nitya Sakhi, Mandri, but then sees the Leela and sees, oh, Radharani is using her big toe, I see it. So he's actually seeing it by praying drishti. But if someone's a meditator, this is where the rag, this is the free flow and free expression of rag, individual expression comes here. So one may not be a Premi Bhakta, he may not be a Nitya Siddha Parikar, definitely, not only maybe, this is sure, it's a fact. But we can think Radharani's drawing with her big toe, what's she writing? The acharyas are not saying. So the safest position, always repeat what the acharyas say. But if one wants to see something or draw some conclusion, especially, he can't create new tattva, and he can't create, well, Jiva Goswami says this tattva, or Rupa Goswami says this tattva, but I was thinking about it, and I think it's like this. That is not acceptable. Because we're not the Mahajans, we're not the Acharyas, we're not the, we are Shastra Das. We are servants of the Shastra. The final, for us, everyone has to agree on the final authority. The final authority is Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, and the six Goswamis, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. If you acquire from all teachers in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they will say this is the high court. All this is high court. But among all this high court praman or evidence or tattva siddhanta, then we have the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is the six Goswamis. They're higher than Narottam, higher than Baladev. We have to, because Lord Chaitanya directly embraced that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So that's where you say Rupa Sanatan. That's in the general Tattva Siddhanta understanding and Leela and Rasa. But when we go specifically in Rasa, then it's Rupa Raghunathapati, Vyakuti, Narottam praise and himself. When will I be eager to follow Rupa Goswami and Raghunath? Rupa establishes so much tattva and so much rasa, and especially so much rasa and Manjari Bhava Upasana is by Raghunath Das Goswami. So when we have the liberty and we have the freedom, we can float, we can enter the Leela and add different services and do different new services. If the services we do or the conclusions that we make, like for example, I'm saying Radharani's drawing with her toe, and I'm thinking deeply about this verse. She's writing, it says Likantya, means writing something. Well, sometimes people write something in the sand. They make a heart. I love Mary. Or they, whatever. Are they like, it's a very funny thing I must share, because it's boring for you, but it brings me back to a very sweet memory. So I'm going to indulge in a little selfishness by going back to this memory, because it's kind of where it all began. When I was 74, and I got a Krishna book from the temple in LA. I was living in Santa Monica by the ocean in California. I was living in Third Avenue and Ocean Park Boulevard. When I was on the East Coast, I was born on Ocean Road. So I went to the West Coast. I like the water, you know. I like water, Russ. So I got this Krishna book, and outside the book it said K with a, and then R with a dot under it, then S with a dot under it, and N with a dot under it. I thought, that's a cool way. I never seen a word like that before. Because the whole book is regular English, Arabic. It's called Arabic letters or something like that. Arabic, I don't know why they call it. Yeah, when I grew up, they said, this type of letter, this is kunari letters. This is called Arabic. Arabic, like Arab, you know, A and B and C. A, B, C, I don't know. So, I don't know, it finds a crazy thing. So the book is all English. There's no Sanskrit inside the book. It's only English book called Krishna book. But that word, I said, this is really cool. Because the people are saying Hare Krishna in the temple. Krishna, I guess. But they're saying, it sounds like K-R-I-S-H-N. But this very fun. I was just looking at that word. This is very amazing. So I was on the beach. I was reading a book. It was at afternoon time, sunset, because it's west side. And then I got up, and because you know, when we were little kids, we used to play in the sand and make little castles. And, you know, like all that stuff. So then I said, this is cool. So the water goes out, and then there's some sand which is not wet and it's not dry and it's hard. It's kind of hard, kind of moist, and like Puri Beach or something. There's no more waves coming because the tide's going out. So it's nice and firm. So I took my big toe, Charanena Bhupa Likantya. And then maybe that's why I'm saying this. It's just some samskara. So I took my toe and I wrote big. I just dragged my toe. Ooh, one straight line. Then I went up and then I made a line. Ooh, like this. Then, okay. R, S, N, A. Then I went with my heel and went underneath the R and underneath the S and made a circle in the sand like this with the heel on my foot. And then I looked at it. Wow, Krishna, Krishna. I was jumping up and down in front of it like this. I'm a little crazy, you know. So I was watching it. Then I went for a walk on the beach, and I went back. I said, I wonder if it's still there, because waves sometimes go this way, that way, and it goes out. So I went back. And said, oh, it's still there. So then I went home, and I went to sleep. Then it came in the morning, because in the morning I would go surfing, or if there's any waves, or, you know, just go out there. And the mornings are nice on the beach, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. So I went, oh, where's my Krishna, you know? Oh, he's gone. He washed away. So this is like, you know, here I am, you know, Charanena Bhupa Likantya. So that's why when I was meditating this, and okay, Jiva Goswami points me, no, okay, they're writing. Oh, with the what toe, the big toe. What's Radharani writing? So she's not writing Krishna. I told in the first class, I said, you know what she's writing? first thing she write is tun. There's ab, and there's tun. Tun means you. So Radharani writes tun. And Lalita's looking. So all this I can see in my meditation. Lalita's looking. Vishaka's looking. And then Rati Manjari is looking at Vishaka. What's she looking at? And then Guru Sakhi's looking at Rati Manjari. What's it's like parampara. So they're all looking. And then it's, oh, Radharani wrote tum, which means you, which means this guy with the blue skin and the hair, you know. Because they haven't said anything. He said this verse and that verse and go home and fear and this and that. And then finally this. You. Can you imagine? Now just imagine someone's giving, you're on the receiving end. You this, that. What do you know about you? You this, that. You know, like typical husband and wife, you know. Husband says, you this, that, that, that. And, oh, oh. And then you're quiet. My turn. You this, that. Then just sit, then just leave. No, you leave. I can't. I can't either. Okay, come back. So Prabhupada used to say, he used to say that Grihastha life, it's like rainy season. In rainy season, sometimes the sky's boom, 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 boom. There's so much rumbling. He said, because Prabhupada's married. He had 13 children or something. He had 11 children. Jananivas told me. Prabhupada had 11 children, and five, six died, and only four mentioned Lilamrita, and one went cracked. He went crazy. And he used to wander around the streets of Calcutta like this and eat out of the trash cans. Because Sridhar Swami saw him and back in the 30s, 50s, 60s, and 60s or whatever. And he saw him and everybody knew who he was. He was wandering around. So he said, please you come. And he was telling him, come to the ashram. No, I don't want to go to that. So this is the fifth one, number five. The Prabhupada had so many. So he really knew about Grihastha life. That's what I'm just trying to say. Don't get lost on that. But just get back to the rumbling. So he said in the rainy season, that sometimes the clouds are rumbling, boom, but there's no lightning. So he said, fighting, arguing and fighting in family life, it's like clouds with no lightning. Lightning is, burns your house down, blows up your house, kills you on the spot, hits a tree, it cuts it in half, hits a huge, huge tree, sequoia tree. Sequoia tree is huge in California. Lightning bolt hits it. Tree is 150 meters high. 150 meters high. And they make, and it's so, it gets old, and in the center they have a hole in it. You can drive a car through the center of the tree. And somehow the trees are still living. It's in California. It's called Sequoia Natural. Sequoia, Sequoia. It's an Indian name. I mean, American Indian. Sequoia. The trees are straight. They say they're from, you know, the scientists of all their stupid postulations. They say that it's from some Cro-Magnon time or something, you know, some wave art. The tree's 150 or 200 meters high, straight. You ever seen it on television? The sequoia is called a redwood. They're called redwood trees. You've heard of redwood. I mean, there's different bright kinds of redwood. This is the original. So rumbling and no thunder. So if we're going to imagine or enter, because we have to imagine, we have to visualize, but there's the parameters are the Shastra and the Acharya's Tikas. And then what are we thinking or what are we understanding or trying to add to the Leela? It should meet these categories. Is it Apasiddhanta or is it Rasabhas? Is it against the truth of the personalities and the identities? And is it wrong mixing of rasas? So therefore, when we know the proper tattva, it won't be apasiddhanta. Apa means against the siddhanta. So, okay, we're meditating on Manjari's Srup, and we're seeing that Radharani's drawing the ground, and we're thinking, oh, and we're just thinking and praying to Krishna in the heart. What's she writing? And we get some idea. Oh, she's writing. So now what we decide that she's writing, she's writing, oh, you're a dirt, or you're a kapat, you kapat. Oh, kapat means you cheater. Radharani is writing tum kapat. You cheat. You know, that, It's like, you know, you cheated me, or whatever. So that may be your imagination in English or Russian or whatever. But then you say, no, this is okay, because this same, sometimes the gopis do say he's a kapat. And I saw that Das Goswami. That's why Leela is the graduate study. Leela's not, you know, when your new bhakta doesn't begin Leela Smaran. He has to know deeply the Siddhanta. He has to know the Rasa Tattva. So then when he's sufficiently purified and under the shelter and received the mercy of Guru, then when he or she enters the Leela or meditates on the Leela, then his conclusions or his insights or his additions to the flow of the Leela or the Sevas in the Leela or the exchanges of the characters are all acceptable, because they meet the proper parameters of they're the proper tattva and the proper presentation and mixing and presentation of rasas. You'll follow. Understand what I'm saying? That's why tattva is the foundation. Oh, I want to see the pranali. You know, okay, very nice. A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, and the P. You get it, you go to sleep with it. Like what they usually say is, I got Siddha Pranali. What do you do with it? What are you doing with it? Well, I'm very fortunate. I have that fortune. So like my tooth, when it came out one day, I put it under my pillow. And the good fairy came and left $5 when I woke up. But the point, I'm making a very serious and important point about meditation. Everyone here is trying to do Leela Smaran. And so I mentioned many points. Our attempts may be unsuccessful because of the wrong approach, wrong understanding, or lack of sufficient tattva and rasa siddhanta. So as much as possible, we will try to introduce different ideas of rasa siddhanta, and so we can deepen our understanding, and also the teacher can improve his understanding of the subject also, because it's on-the-job training, I would say. I'm also a student, and you're all students. Anything different. So we'll go through this together. We'll go through these lesson plans together. And hopefully we'll help each other deepen our understanding and our practices of our bhakti bhajan. Because that is the objective of our satsang. It's not an entertainment hour. It's not somewhere to spend some time. We want to learn. We want to become expert in our practices of yoga. And we're doing the most difficult thing. When one chooses, somehow he receives the mercy of a Raghunuga Bhakta and he treads the path of Leela Smaran ever so feebly or wobbly legs, whatever, new, old devotee, whatever. It's all the path of Course Mercy from start to finish. But we have to do our part. And our part is serious, sincere, intense endeavor. At what? At meditation. You may augment that meditation with lots of japa. You may not do more than 10 rounds, 4 rounds, 16 rounds, 32 rounds, whatever, 1 lakh. All different number combinations can be there for the holy name, depending on your guru's requirement, on your own understanding of and your needs. The objective is to be absorbed in Leela Smaran. Whether the holy name is coming out of your mouth or not, that's not important. If your mind and heart intelligence are totally identifying with your Siddha Sarup and the forms of Krishna's Nitya Parishads and Sadhana Siddha Gopis and Guru Sakhi, then your everything is perfect. The whole objective is Smaran. What we remember is what we become. What we remember is what we get. What we remember is what we are. Yam yam vapi svaran bhavam tyachit yanti kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatta bhava bhavita. 8th chapter of Gita, verse number 6. Everywhere in Upanishads, in the Gita Upanishad, Gita is called Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. It's such a fantastic book. And so, it's because it's all sutras. So the Advaitins can take the Bhagavad Gita and draw a completely perfect Advaita conclusion. It's a perfect Shastra to be a Mayavadi, a Brahmavadi, a Jnani, a Yogi, or an Advaitin. The Bhagavad Gita is perfect. And it's also the perfect shot. It's an ideal and perfect Shastra to be a pure lover of Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. This verse is a little bit of a pinprick for Advaitins to give tika on. Priya. Become Priya, become dear. Manmana bhava man. This is mom. Mom is not Brahman. Yukta chetasa, ananya chinta, yukta chetasa, so many phrases in Gita, you can take the Advaitin concept, Brahmavadi, Mayavadi. But this verse is, big bite in the side of the Advaitin gurus. Because it's everything else they can take. And Krishna gives them that rope to run on. Vedanti tat tat vidas yat tat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanati shavyate. The Advaya Gyan, the spiritual truth, Advaya Gyan, it is understood, it's perfectly understood as Brahman, it's perfectly understood as Paramatma, it's perfectly understood as Bhagavan. They're all equal and absolute perfections. Three roads to perfection. And perfection means eternal. Brahman realization is eternal. Paramatma's realization is eternal. Bhagavan realization is eternal. So this is the gopis. The gopis are the greatest meditators. The gopis are the greatest yogis. Unbelievable. And all of the powers of yoga and all the powers of meditation to the upteenth degree are depicted in these five chapters of the Rasa Lila. The highest states of absorption of Jivana Smriti and Samadhi are found here in the Rasa Lila. Total, so much Samadhi that you become Krishna. They are still not, it's not Sayujya Mukti. I am Brahman. Namo Narayan, I am Narayan. I am Brahman. No, they become so much one with Krishna that it's, I am Krishna. Get out from here, Kaliya. They don't see. They can't see. So this is a high state of samadhi. Total samadhi. The whole intelligence has merged so much in the object of meditation that the intelligence has taken the shape of the object of the meditation. And the mind is taking the thoughts of the object of meditation. And the heart is taking the bhava of the meditation. This is samadhi. Sama means all intelligence. Di means intelligence. Buddhi. All the possibilities of intellectual thought and all the possibilities of intellectual understanding has been, you know, the intellect is for the intelligent. The intellect is like this broad. And the gopis have Samadhi means to take that whole intellect and make it into one point, Samadhi. And it's on Krishna's form. I am Krishna's form. I am Krishna. This is in the Rasa Lila. How at a higher state of Samadhi one can find in this? Because this is the ultimate Samadhi of the Jnani. That I meditate in white light, the Sahasra Padma Chakra, the whole thing, and then I am particle of light. I'm a particle of light. I'm a ray of light. I am the totality of light. That's their samadhi. Advaitavadis. Or Advaitins. But the gopis, that is Krishna's jyoti. I am the light. First they become one with the light, but there's something beyond the light. There's a light bulb. Beyond the light is the light bulb. The light, you see the light going up the stairs. You don't see the light bulb. You turn the corner. Oh, there's the light bulb. So the problem with the Advaitins and the Brahmavadis They just don't turn the corner. They see the light, they don't turn the corner and see the light bulb. So this is the thing. So this is why, so that one should know that it's not, Bhagavad Gita can be 100% Gyani Shastra. There's entire missions of Advaitins that their whole mission is based on the teachings of Gita. The whole mission. And has, there's not a, of course, it, their whole success is because there's some bhakti impenetrating their presentation. Otherwise, they don't even get blessed with the Mayavad perfection. But I'm just telling you that as a point. So I think we understood this point, and gopis drawing on the ground with their feet. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, he has a nice point here. He says, their reddish lips of the gopis are drying up because of the hot breathing that arose from their lamentation. Because that word is there in the first line, shucha, shucha, avashucha. So ava means avatar. Mukhani ava means their faces are down. And shucha is sorrow, like shoch, shoch, or shochan. So they're lamenting. Krishna says in Gita, what does he tell Arjuna? Ashochan anvachochan cha. He said, you are lamenting for what is not worth lamenting. You're lamenting for the bodies of the elder people and other people died. No, there's no cause of lamentation. Never was there a time when I did not exist. Nor you. Like this, Krishna preaches. So this is their crying and because their lamentation. And I love Vishnu, he really goes into it. He says, when the hot sun dries ripe red bimba fruits, dark spots appear on them and they grow soft. The beautiful lips of the gopis similarly change their appearance. So somehow their reddish lips were spotted with black spots. That sounds rather really new age. You know, you put these, paint some diamonds on your teeth and stuff, you know. That's very high fashion to have black, you know, you paint red and you put some little diamonds in your lips, you know. Cool. He's saying this very interesting analogy. He says, the sign of their shame is indicated by their scratching their earth with their left big toes. First Jiva Goswami, 500 years ago, says the toe, big toe. And then 300 years ago, Vishnath says, not only the big toe, but the left foot. Now, why the left foot and not the right foot? So now Vishnath Chakravarti's disciple has to tell that answer. So what we're seeing here is the plot thickens and the experience gets deeper because the addition of different individuals adding their realizations and their bhavdrishti. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksade Vyeshvilokyanti Yam Sham Yam 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 Sham. Very yummy. Yam Yam Sham Asundara Achintya Gunasarupa. You see that waste? You know, from 1974, when that deity was installed, 75, Shamsundara and Ramanriti, until 1988, no one ever saw his belly button. Until one gentleman happened on the scene who is extremely attached to the Shamsundara, then saw the belly button, saw the thighs. Very different dress standard during the founder's time and afterwards. But everything is changing over time. Everything's not what it used to be, as everyone knows in their own life. So there's some changes. For the better, for the worse. No one ever saw Radharani, no one ever saw Radharani's hair until 1989. And even the founder says Radharani's hair should go behind this like this because different attempts were made to come forward and they were always squashed from the top. So now, a little quite, and it's worldwide. I mean, it caught on like a fever, you know, it's like it went viral, as they say. Every Murti, every private Murti go into little mini Radha Shyam Sundars, you know, lookalikes, you know. Okay, so that's why we say Yam Yam Shamsam. Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasarupam Govinda Madhipurusham. So the eye, the drishti is so. Why? This verse, Brahma's talking about the drishti. What is the drishti? Drishti means the vision, the angle of vision, the angle of vision, which means the mental vision. Angle of vision is the mental vision. And the feeling is the heart vision. And the understanding of what's happening is the mind vision. So altogether, this is television. No, no, yeah, the mind vision. I can't repress the chance and opportunity. Because this is vision. I'm in Vaishakha's party, and her main contribution to Radha Krishna is telling jokes. Every gopi makes love with Krishna, those type of Parama gopis. And they're all serving Radharani, and they're all Radharani's servants, you know, her party, not the other one. But the speciality, Vishakha plays mridanga. She's very good on mridanga. Not very good, she is perfect. She's the best. And very talented. But one thing she does, and it's even told in Raghunath Das Goswami, in Stavavali, he goes to Vishakha to learn joke telling. How to tell jokes. So it goes like this. Comes in a line. So this is important that Brahmaji, he's showing us that love of Krishna, Krishna prema. Okay, we don't have Krishna prema. You're not exhibiting a symptoms of bhava prema. Okay, agreed. Ditto. But do we have anything? Yes. It's a degree. One, two, three, how many? 100 degrees is full, 100%. So if bhakti comes from outside, guru places bhakti in the heart, now that starts 1 degree, 1%. Now where is it going to go? Are you going to water it? Are you going to water that percentage, make the one become two, the two become three? The growth will come from Krishna, the flourishing will come from Krishna, the flower will come from Krishna, the fruit will come from Krishna, but we have to do our part. We have to water. So the water is bhakti bhajan, sarasanga, Bhagavat Shravan, reading Bhagavatam, Brajavas, Thakurji Puja. Thakurji Puja means smaran. You do external puja, okay, get a little Govardhan Shila, a couple of manjaris, little piece of mystery, jai, bathe your edge, some eight manjaris, some mystery, Tulsi Vas, Radhi Radhi. And do smaran. Very small puja. Our puja is manasik puja. Our artik is manasik artik. Maybe some outside morning, evening aarti like this, nice, mangal. This is auspicious. The juncture of day, night and day, and day and night is very nice time for meditation, nice time for worship, puja. And it enhances the sattva, transcendental vibration. So we can see that each devotee looks at the lila according to the power of his bhakti drishti and prema drishti. Jiva Goswami draws out one point, very beautiful point. Vishnu Chakravarti. So I can't, I'm not allowed. I can't draw out any points. Yes, you can draw out points. You can expand the Leela. You can enter the Leela and you're there, you're doing this and you're doing that, and the Leela is going like this, then it goes like that. If it's proper Siddhanta and proper rasa vichar. If it's boing, oh, you know. Like you play some game, and if you're out of bounds, it makes some sound, boing. So it's like, oh. So that's why this practice, one has to be quite learn it to one sense, at least be properly guided. Just follow your guidance. And then best, the safest thing is just follow what all the acharyas, what they've given. But what they've given us is unlimited. It can go in unlimited directions and unlimited expansions. And that's why when you read different padakarthas, you read songs of Rai Shekhar, we read so many Govinda Das Aviraj, so Chandi Das Vidyapati. You say, oh, what Chandi Das is writing, I didn't see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means it's not true. Chandi Das has so many bhajans and so many descriptions of Leela. Chandi Das and Vidyapati wrote so many bhajans, beautiful descriptions of small Leelas, very many things about Purvarag. This is a nice point, because what we've seen, we're going very slow, but I'm hoping everyone is catching something. And we take vitamins. How much is absorbed, we don't know. If something's absorbed, we're lucky. The point is that we, if we have surrendered to the Diksha Guru and we're trying to practice Rag Marg, we have a driver's license, you know, driver's license. We have Guru Kripa. That's why we do Guru Puja? Why do we do Yoga Pit Dhyan of Guru as a Sadaka Roop and Siddha Roop? Because we want the mercy of Guru. And with his mercy, we can go deep in these meditations. I only can say this much, that it's so important to be so close and so deep in heart. I don't know, physically, whatever, Guru's 1,000 miles, wherever, doesn't matter. But so close and so deep with Guru in heart that you're always, you know, you're tapping into the fountain of youth. Like they have fountain of youth. You're tapping into the ever-flowing fora, kripa fora? Fountain of mercy. You call upon the Guru, you meditate on the Guru. That's why this is first. Firstly, there's yoga pit meditation is the center of the mind and the center of your, this is where I'm going. The yoga pit means the center point from where the leelas expand. The same principle of yoga pit dhyan and sakyarti, Radharani arti and sakyarti is there even today. Narayan Bhatta, when he introduced the Rasa Leela performances, he followed exactly the Nitya Leela conception, exactly the conception of Sad Goswamis. So Narayan Bhatta, everyone knows his Bhajan Kutir is underground in Munchagaon, and he installed Laralaji there. I forget what line he's in. I wrote an article, I forget. He was connected at some point with Gaudius, and I think he went a little different direction, but famous devotee, Narayan Bhatta Goswami, great rustic devotee of Radha and Krishna. So when one attends a Rasa Leela performance today with the Brahmins taking the roles, traditionally it's all Brahmins, Gopis and Krishna, then the beginning of the Rasa Leela, then they have the Yoga Pit Puja. They sing Sakhi Arati. And then you see the Sakhis, Radha and Krishna on the throne. This represents the Yoga Pit. So before they go in any direction with any Leela, whether it's Nanda Baba and Krishna Balaram Leelas, which sometimes it is, or whether it's Madhu Mangal and the Gopis, which sometimes it is, it's not always Gopi Leela. Ras Leela means, it's called Rasamandali. So at least the particular groups I've seen in Vrindavan, they do many types of Leelas and different Stairatis. Same persons, same players. But to begin, when they do, they always begin with the Yoga Pit Puja. This in a dramatic, simplified way, but that's what we begin with. I mean, many don't. Many are not given yoga pit meditation, and they go straight into the leela. But still, the point is, even those that don't do yoga pit meditation, they do guru puja and they meditate on guru, because that's eternal. You meditate on guru now, and you meditate on guru's sadhaka roop and siddha roop, and it goes there eternally. We're with the guru. So this Guru Kripa and his training, his mercy, gives us the power to enter the Leela, and then it starts to move. The Leela starts to move, it starts to grow and expand, and we're growing and moving and expanding right along with the Leela, which is developing in our meditation. That's why we spend time, 2, 3, 4 hours meditating, so that we can, as much as we can do, 1 hour a day, half hour or something. It's a balance. The sign of their shame is indicated by their scratching on the earth with their left big toes, Vishnu said. The gopis thought, oh, Mother Earth, why? So all this, so people, when they read Vishnu, they're amazed. Oh, Vishnu, how are you bringing out so many beautiful things? And some people, they don't, some Gaudiya gurus, they don't agree with some things, Vishnu says. They rather prefer Jiva Goswami's angle or Sridhar Swami's angle. And some Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, they very much favor Vishnu. And some favor all of them together, which is what we generally see. But his insights are so wonderful. You even ask anyone, oh, yes, his commentaries are very good, but nothing compares to Vishnu. Even your Advaita Baba, he's always saying, he always brings it one, you know, takes you deeper, another step closer. But there's unlimited steps, unlimited proximity and closeness one can come to the infinite realm, an infinite world of Leela. So Vishwanath is taking it, and he's Achari, he's Mahajan, and he has the authorization, the acceptance of all. But that doesn't limit me in my own. I'm not going to publish books about all my amazing experiences, because I've actually met many devotees that don't even have pranali. But over the years, I've grown up with some guru bhais. I know some. I won't say they live in the whole world of Krishna's lila. They have projected their own identity, and they've written things to me, and it's just amazing what they've spun out. And they say, "What do you think of this?" And I read it, and it's all a proper Siddhanta and Tattva, and it's all different shades and variations. It's shades and variations and elaborations. No, I wouldn't say elaboration. Shades and variations and embellishments of existing rasa books and rasa tattvas. If you have read, I don't know if you have read, there's a book that which has some different mixed parts in it, but there's some parts where this in this book it's talking about leelas and the entrance and the play of the mantri in this leela. It's called the Heart of Book Distribution. There's many flaws and some things there. But this here, the author is writing autobiography of it because we happen to know the author. So this particular part of the book is very interesting. And I know about how it came about. So I was on the scene there with him in those days. And I also know, so I know all the books he was reading. And so that when you read, if you know, if you don't know, you don't know. You think it's really interesting thing. But in that whole set, there's sections there where it's Radha and Krishna and the Mandri is doing various things. But actually, this is the author's idea and his embellishment, but it's all based on other things. He's actually almost like rewriting and embellishing what he's read from particular books of authorized and acceptable acharyas. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's taking the basis of what books of Krishna Bhavanamrita and the same leelas, but then adding a little bit, which is okay. It's not out of bounds. That's actually the best part of the book. This is a one person's individual seeing of his entrance into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and eternal service there. So this is what it means, rag. Rag means an individual attraction. It's not, oh, you should be attracted. Oh, yeah, I should be attracted. Oh, I'm attracted. that's why most people, here there's 5, 10 people. You go to all the ISKCON temples, hundreds of people, because it's very rare. Who has this interest? You go deep. Who has these feelings and sensitivities? The Raganugiya Bhakti is quite rare, very rare species. And we are a little bit feeling a little strength in numbers out here in Radhakund because we're all sharing the same ideas. Some different gurus, Nandalal Pandit's disciples and Pran Krishna Baba's disciples and Srila Nathadasa's disciples, Pandit Sri Krishna's Babaji's disciples. And I probably missed out the other ones. So there's so many other great personalities here. We're all orbiting around one Radharani and we're all worshiping one Radharani. We all have different gurus, we all have different lines, or we maybe have the same parivar, but a different angle. Well, you're Advaita parivar, very rare. Because Advaita is a little bit less, and little, I could say probably Nityananda Parivaram was probably at least 85% of the totality. I know it's a ballpark figure. I mean, a guesstimate. But the totality of Gaudiya Vaishnava is probably the Nityananda Parivaram with its unlimited branches and sub-branches would be, my guess, maybe others say more different, say 85%, that's a lot. And 15% means, and of that 15%, largest number is Advaita Parivara. Then it's Shamananda Parivara, Naratam Parivara, and Thakur Radhisham, or whatever that is. Huh? Gadadhar Parivara. And Gadadhar Parivara is really small. I mean, you know, but there is quite a not too small representative. Gadadhar Pan is representative right now on the planet, at least the most prominent one in the street. Dr. Sri Satyanarayan Das Babaji Maharaj. He's a small Parivara, but he's a big Jagat Guru, that's for sure. So this is, this Leela is so vast and unlimited. The gopis are going to speak so beautifully. And we'll, tomorrow, I think tomorrow we'll finish more of the interlude and then we'll